You know, this is such a good time for us to have the summer to take a look at the gospel according to Mark. And today we're moving into the fourth chapter, but this is the first parable that Mark records for us, the first of Jesus' teachings that he shares with us. And as you all know, each of the Gospels are written not as biographies or not as history, and they're not written in how we do things in a linear fashion, you know, day one, day two, day three. And the Gospels are written instead to communicate the message of who Jesus Christ is. And so as Mark is writing his Gospel, he's not necessarily sharing Jesus' story in a perfectly sequential manner. He's sharing the story in a manner that tells the story as well as he is able to tell it. And so this is the first parable that Mark shares with us that Jesus taught. And so one of the questions you have to ask is why did Mark start with this parable? Given the many wonderful stories that Jesus taught and the many wonderful parables that he told, why did he choose this one to be the first one? And so let's read it and let's ponder that a little bit. In the fourth chapter of Mark, beginning with the first verse. Again, Jesus began to teach beside the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the sea and sat there, while the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. He began to teach them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, but since it had no depth of soil, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and 100-fold. And Jesus said, "Let anyone with ears to hear, listen." May the Lord bless us a portion from his holy word. Now, as most of you know, I spent 10 wonderful years in the thriving metropolis of Wyalusing, Pennsylvania, a community of 528 people, plus or minus one or two. And it was a wonderful experience for me because I had never lived in a farm town before. I grew up in a small city and then went to college in a suburb of Chicago and seminary in a suburb of New York City. And I had never experienced what it was like to live in a farming community. And I learned a lot of lessons very quickly. I wasn't there very long when I got a phone call at 7 a.m. Now, I don't know whether you have ever gotten a call where you're still asleep, but you make that bold and valiant effort to pretend you're awake. And the voice on the other end says, "Hi, Steve, I hope I didn't wake you up." "Oh, no, I was up." He said, "Well, I waited until after I got the chores done and had breakfast before I called you." I knew I was not in academia anymore. And I also learned early on in Wyalusing that there was this great debate that went on between, because Wyalusing was very much dairy country up there, this great debate between those who raised Holsteins and those who raised Jerseys. Did you know there was a great debate on that? I never knew there was a great debate on that. There's a tremendous argument on which one is better to have, because Dairy producers get paid by the hundredweight. Every 100 pounds of milk, they get so many dollars for 100 pounds of milk. But what they get paid per 100 pound depends in part, you get a bonus the more milk fat content there is in the milk. And so you have your Holsteins that produce a tremendous amount of milk, but not a whole lot of milk fat. And you have your Jerseys that don't produce a whole lot of milk, but they have a very high milk fat percentage in their milk. And so they were always debating with each other as to which was the better way to go. Less milk, higher rate per 100 pound, more milk, lower rate per 100 pound. It was kind of like those old commercials, you know, more taste, less filling. And so it was, I learned a lot about agrarian society in my 10 years in Wyalusing. It was a steep learning curve for me. I'm getting off my text here, but another one, I'm sorry, this, you guys are going to think I'm an idiot on this one. But I was up at one of the members' houses, and they always fed me a good meal on Sundays because I was, you know, it was before Debbie, so they didn't trust me to feed myself. And they had me up one night, and we had this wonderful meal, and as we concluded the meal, Mr. Don says, "Steve, would you like some potatoes to take home with you?" I said, "Whoa, that'd be real nice. I know how to bake a potato. I can do that." And I said, "Oh, that'd be great. I'd love to have some potatoes." And he says, "Okay, let's go on out to the garden." So we went out to his garden, and it wasn't an ordinary garden. It was about 2 acres of land he'd cut out of the farm that he used for his family and for giving away. And I look, he says, "Well, okay, here's the potatoes over here." And I look, and I look, and I look, and I look. And I thought, "I don't see any potatoes there." Hands me a pitchfork, and he says, "Start digging." I go, "Oh, they're in the dirt. I didn't know that. I did not know that." And it was the same fellow that one Sunday, after the sermon, and I preached on this text. And I thought I did a wonderful job preaching on this text. I talked about the farmer and sowing the seeds and scatter them this way and scatter them that way. And you know, and sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. And you know, and then I talked about how as the church and as Christians, we're supposed to scatter God's word every which way. And, you know, how it comes back to us isn't really up to us, and I thought it was a great sermon, and yes, there's some good points in that, but as everybody was filing out that Sunday morning, Mr. Don comes up to me, and he says, "I have always hated that parable." And I said, "Okay, tell me why." He says, "Do you realize how much seeds cost? What kind of farmer just throws his seeds carelessly around like that? No decent farmer would do that. You have to have the soil prepared. You have to have everything just right. You got to have proper nutrients in the soil. You have to make sure the soil is properly tilled. You have enough moisture." You know, he went on through the whole list of things that have to take place in order for the seed to grow. And I thought, I never thought about that. And see, that's one of the things with Jesus and his teachings is that a lot of them are set in that agrarian society, that society where those who are around him would hear and understand things that maybe those of us who live in a different time and in a different age, you know, where we think that lettuce comes from the refrigerated section at Kroger's, you know, that we might see things not quite the same as they did. And so from that experience, then I have re-looked at this text, and I thought Vicki did a very good job, because this parable is not about the farmer. The parable isn't about how the farmer does his, you know, planting of the seeds. It's not about where the seeds go. This parable is about how it is you and I listen. I mean, this is a parable that Jesus starts off. What's the first thing he says as he's beginning this parable? listen. What's the last thing he says as he concludes the parable? Listen to him who has ears to hear. Let him hear this. And so this is a parable about how it is that we listen, how it is that we take in what is being said to us. What are we going to do with this message? What are we going to do with this person of Jesus Christ? What are we going to do with this wonderful story that Mark is unfolding for us page by page in his gospel? You see, I think that the reason that Mark made this the first parable that he tells to us is because he wants us to be prepared to listen, to let the story of Jesus get into us, to become something that we ruminate on, something that we ponder, something that we try and struggle with and work with, and to let that seed get into our hearts and into our lives in such a way that we grow in our faith. We grow in our understanding and knowledge of who God is and what God expects of us and what Jesus is teaching us and how Jesus gives us such a good example for how we ought to live and how we ought to be in our lives. You see, Mark wanted us to know, before we go any further in this gospel, before you start along this path of hearing the stories and the teachings and the parables and the incidences out of Jesus' life, are you ready to listen? Are you ready to let it sink in like a good seed sinking into good soil? Are you ready to allow it to grow within you, so that you will be changed and you will yield back to God what God has given to you? It's a marvelous parable, but it's a demanding parable. It is one that we cannot take lightly, because we have to decide right up front, what kind of soil are we going to be? Are we going to be soil that you know, comes on a Sunday morning and puts a little check mark in the box and says, yep, I've been to church, done my duty, I'm a good Christian, time to go home? You know, then that's just like the soil that hits the rocks and bounces off. Or are we going to be the rich, deep soil that takes our Christian faith seriously 7 days a week, 24 hours a day? That we will always be seeking how to live out God's word in our lives on a daily and regular basis. Mark is serious about this gospel thing. He's serious enough that he wants us to decide how we want to progress from here. Are we ready, willing, and able to be open to receiving Christ's love so much within us that Christ's love and our lives become inseparable? You know, I think that's one of the reasons that Jesus gave us this wonderful memorial, this simple remembrance of bread and cup. Because have you ever thought about it? Its symbolism is so beautiful. Because as we consume the bread and drink from the cup, we're allowing that to become a part of us. And it digests within us. And it becomes a part of who we are. And that which we consume becomes indistinguishable from who we are. And so it is a reminder that as we take Christ into our hearts and our lives, Christ's love in our lives becomes so melded that the two become indistinguishable. That people no longer see us for us, but they see Christ's love
flowing through us. I think that's something of what this means for us as we come to the table today. And I'm sure that that's what Mark was meaning for us as we heard that parable of the sower and the seeds. No. The parable of the soil. The parable of the good soil, calling us to be ones who can take in into our lives the whole truth of God's love as revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who shows us the truth of who you are, who shows us the depth of your love for each and every one of us, who shows us how it is that we ought to live our lives. O Heavenly Father, help us to take Jesus Christ into our lives in such a real way that we become changed people and we yield unto you all of the honor and glory which is due unto your name. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.